Hello again, and welcome to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. This is Kevin, your host, coming to you from the Clock Tower recording studio inside the Division Hill Clock Tower Plaza, Coins Plus Building, 3201 North Division Street, 99207 if it matters. I don't think it does, but who knows? GPS likes that sometimes. Coins Plus been here a couple decades. Been buying and selling lots of precious metals over the years. Hopefully we can talk about that a little bit this show. I'm going to be taking a little time off here coming up. And so Tom will be running some encore presentations, as he likes to call them, to basically give you some nostalgia, I suppose. Coins Plus is, has, and always will be your full-service rare coin and precious metals broker-dealer depository service. Like I said, been here 20 years, going to be here a long time to come. Solid, well-capitalized business. I started it, came out of banking, loved coins, absolutely loved coins. Coins, as I've mentioned, coins and metals run in 10-year up and down cycles. Basically, when I got into this business in the 90s, coins were apparently soft. I didn't know any better. Everybody's like, oh, those are cheap. Oh, you can't sell those. They're too cheap. No one will buy them. And I'm like, well, everybody wants to buy them. I didn't, you know, it's just that they're worth what they're worth. Well, we're a little bit there now again. And I kind of like it because it's how I did well in this industry. And coins as a whole are cheap. Quality coins are a great value. Cheap might be the wrong word, but there really is a great value out there. We're building portfolios. You know, metals are cheap, inexpensive, fair value, however you want to call it. It really is a really excellent time to be getting in. And I'll tell you, folks, it blows my mind how deceptive the investment world is. I wish I could put it into words. I spoke with a client yesterday for quite a while who has a significant amount of money. They have a percentage of it with a broker, supposedly a great Christian man. And while the Dow is bouncing off the ceiling, shattering, you know, new record after new record, she's losing her tail. Literally has lost year to date, I'd say about 30%. Talked to the broker and said, why am I losing this money? His response is, well, it shouldn't be performing that way. Folks, they don't have answers. They don't know. They don't know the future. It's all a crapshoot. It's a gamble. And as a matter of fact, year to date, as the Dow is setting record highs, listen to me close. As the Dow is setting record highs, over 70% of stocks have set record lows this year. Does that make any sense? I mean, I'll repeat it again. 52-week lows, according to the Wall Street Journal. Over 72% of stocks have hit 52-week lows in year-to-date while the Dow is setting these incredible record highs. Think about that. That means 70% of the stocks are doing the worst they've ever done while they're telling us the Dow is going through the moon. And we're like, oh, the economy is great. Everything's wonderful. Is the economy great? Is it wonderful? I know a lot of small business owners. I know a lot of business owners. I know a lot of people in business. It's not great. Construction's awesome. Construction's on fire. And part of the reason it's so on fire is because all the tough years in the industry weeded out all the chaff. Okay, so there is a lot of elimination of a lot of contractors, which, you know, it I'd say it's good, but it doesn't always weed out the bad guys because there's always, you know, the construction business. If you're going to do a remodel or build a house, man, be careful. I have done a lot of real estate, a lot of lending, and a lot of construction over the years in real estate. I've personally handled literally billions of dollars in real estate loans that I literally handled. My book. And I've done, it's an area of experience, gifting, whatever you want to call it. I've done tens of millions of dollars in real estate construction. Nothing compared to Trump, but for the Spokane area, not minor. And I'll tell you, I know a lot about it. I know a lot of things I wish I never had to know. I know a lot about what can go wrong. But I'm telling you, there's just a lot of people out there that just don't do a good job. And one thing I was speaking with a client with about recently, who was trying to get something done in this area, it is baffling how many men claim the name of Christ and do crappy jobs, don't follow up, walk away, oversensitive, you know, flake out. I mean, just flake out. Folks, I don't get it. Can we all serve the same God and have completely different perceptions of integrity? I don't get it. I've seen it a lot. I don't get it. I'm telling you. I really have seen this a lot. And it troubles me. It troubles me deeply when men won't follow through. You know, Psalms 15, who can dwell in the holy tent of the Lord? And what, there's the one, he who swears to his own hurt but does not change. You give your word, you do it. If it hurts, you do it. If it costs you money, you do it. Can't tell you how many times I've seen that go the other way. And then, of course, I think it's the seventh commandment. Maybe I'm wrong, but I think it is. The Lord's name in vain. Don't use the Lord's name in vain. Everybody thinks that means don't curse with his name. That is, to me, that's a small part of it. Obviously, it's not a minor part of it. Don't curse with his name. Do not curse with the name of the Lord. Why would you do that? It's trash. I had a friend who was a pastor who told a story one time that long before he became a pastor, he worked in a mechanic shop. And he said his boss ran around all the time, GD this, GD that. In other words, G damn this, G damn that. That constantly, that was his favorite phrase. And he said he was sitting there one day, and the guy said, this pastor guy said, everything broke. It really did. It was bad. And he said this guy was complaining in the office one day, gee, damn this, and this place is everything breaks and nothing will run right. And this guy said to him, well, what do you expect? You're asking God to damn everything, and then you complain when he does. Folks, if you're saying GD this, you better be ready for him to D it, to damn it. You don't want God to curse it. The word damn means to curse. Curse as in make bad, destroy, take the life out of. You do not want God to do that. You don't even want to be exposed to that. We're calling on his name to do bad things. You know, we don't need to use the Lord's name in vain. There's times I've, you know, accidentally done it because I've got Jesus' name on my mind, and something will happen. I'll say, oh, Jesus. And it's like, you know, I don't intend it that way, but I still need to be careful because a lot of times I've got his name just rattling around in my head. But, you know, I don't know how that works. But the thing is other people hear that the wrong way. We just have to respect his name and honor it as the king of the universe, the almighty God, the creator of 6 trillion stars surrounded by planets in infinite space that somehow chose us, about as significant as a molecule at best, out on the, what they tell us is the fringes of the universe and the Milky Way galaxy. I don't believe it. There's that, the new principle that came out. If you look online, well, you can't hardly look on it because there's so much trash against it. But there's new scientific evidence that shows that the Milky Way galaxy and the Earth is actually at the center of the universe, which is very interesting and would confirm what they've been saying for quite a while. Anyway, the Lord's name in vain is where you represent Jesus Christ as an ambassador. You're out there using his name. People will misuse it. They'll use it to get trust. They'll use it to get in the door with people. They'll use it for unity. And they'll say, oh, yeah, I'm a fellow believer. Let me do your project. I've had this, you know. And then when the going gets tough, it's different. It's not what they meant, you know. The relationship is between them and God, not them and us. So when they're preaching it to us, you know, I'm a believer. You can trust me. No, that's not really how the Bible works or how God works. It's like you're a believer. You need to live with a level of integrity that reflects it. And obviously none of us are perfect. Solomon says that he searched the world over and he found 1 out of 1,000 righteous men and no righteous women, which women might take as an insult. But part of that, I think, is because women were made to follow men in general. And I don't, you know, you got to apologize for all this sexist stuff, but that's what it is. God made man, Adam, and then he gave him Eve, a wonderful gift. If women realize that's what they are, they're an amazing gift. They're an absolute beautiful flower. They're a beautiful vessel. They're an incredible thing. They provide amazing stuff to men in so many ways, and to mankind and children, and they're, you know, they've got their gifting and they need to be proud of it and celebrate it instead of getting under this pressure that they need to be a professional businesswoman. And if they're not out hammering out a career while their kids are growing up at home or growing up in daycare, they're not a good woman. You know, they're not a liberated woman. That's not what God called you to be. Don't be shocked when what the world tells you to do is exactly contrary to what God says, you know. But that's why I think Solomon said that he hasn't found a righteous woman. Now, maybe that means he didn't look hard enough or something. But I think the point is, if men aren't righteous and women are married to them, how are they going to stay righteous? Pretty tough. But the point is, 1 out of 1,000 men, he says, is truly righteous. In the Bible, when it says righteous, the word means right-minded, having a proper perspective of who they are in God's sight, in God's eyes, in God's presence, having a complete understanding of the relationship, knowing that we're imperfect and impure. David was called righteous throughout the Bible. Why? He fell, man. He not only did he commit adultery, he killed the woman's husband. That's a pretty big deal, you know? And the thing is, the point was that he could purely seek God's agenda. Very, very, very few of us can do that. Very few of us can absolutely let everything peel away. So many of us think, oh, I need to clean up my life before I present myself to God. No, we're filth. Our works are as filthy rags, the Bible says. We're not going to impress God. We don't impress him. We love him. We receive his grace and goodness, and we serve him as servants, but we don't impress God. God's not blown away by anything we do. He's glorified. He doesn't want us to impress him. And our problem is when we want to impress God, it's because we want to impress man, because we really want to impress ourselves. But that's not what we're here for. We're here to glorify him. To glorify means to illuminate. We are to lift him up. And when we pray, okay, first of all, when you pray for something, pray big, but I'll get to that. But if God fulfills a prayer or does something awesome, illuminate him. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. You are not ashamed. You don't care what company you're in. Now, if you're worried about how to say it in certain company, then you got to learn how to become more diplomatic. You got to learn how to speak with more tact in diplomacy and become a better ambassador. You're an ambassador. If you're an ambassador, you may have to speak to all kinds of world leaders, and sometimes you're going to be walking on real thin eggshells. You got to be able to control that tongue, say the right thing. You know, Proverbs says a fitly chosen word or a properly chosen word is like, you know, a beautiful setting on a table of apples and gold and all this stuff, like perfectly put together, like a perfect bouquet of flowers. It's just received. It's beautiful. And so we need to be illuminating him, but we need to know we've got to have diplomacy intact. A lot of times, well, real quick prayer I was talking about a minute ago. You got to pray huge, okay? I've talked to people lately that are ill, and I've heard them say, I feel wrong praying for healing. Are you kidding me? I had a good friend who had a really severe melanoma, and he was on chemo, and he was doing terrible. And he came here, and I said, come upstairs. My wife and I want to pray for you. And we prayed over him, and we prayed that God would heal him. And we got done, and he goes, wow, I feel really weird. I said, what do you mean? He goes, well, I just feel different, you know. But he goes, this is really weird. He goes, I've never prayed to be healed. And I'm like, what? I go, what do you pray for? He goes, for God's will. Well, God's will is our will if we're aligned with him. Delight yourself in the Lord, Psalms 37 says, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. He's the great physician, the great healer. God doesn't want us sick. And, you know, yes, he's going to put us through hard times because that's how we grow and we get disciplined, definitely, for sure. But he's a good God. He's a magnificent God. Look at the blessings he's bestowed upon us. We can get down in the dumps and get depressed here on earth and complain and whine about our woe. And we can go through super hard times that really beat us up. Emotional loss of loved ones and terrible things like this. But he wants, you know, it says he'll give us beauty for ashes. He's the God that resurrected Jesus Christ. What do you think the disciples felt like on Friday when they watched their Savior, the Messiah, be whipped, beaten, flogged, crucified, the most heinous, torturous death you can imagine? People that don't realize it, how do you die on the cross? Have you ever thought about that? Why is it? It's not blood loss. It's from, they put you up there a way. The only way you can breathe is to push up on your feet to relieve the pressure off your arms to gasp for another breath, and then you drop down again. Each time the pain is agonizing and excruciating. They give you no fluid. They give you nothing. You sit there and you die of dehydration and suffocation and excruciating pain until you're so exhausted, you finally pass away. And most of the time they help people pass away. That's why they would stick a rod between their legs and snap their legs so that they couldn't push up and breathe anymore. That's why with Jesus, it said he would not have a bone broken. Part of crucifixion at the end was the broken bones. But with Jesus, they knew he was dead. And he said, it is finished. Before that, made a magnificent presentation with the universe, with the storm, whatever, darkened the skies, tore the veil, etc. And that's why they cut his side and fluid flowed from him. Because if you get cut when you're alive, you bleed. If you're dead, fluid rolls out because your heart's not pumping anymore. Therefore, his bones were never broken. So he could be resurrected without a broken bone. And then over 500 people saw him at one time. The resurrection is very true. Tacitus, Flavius Josephus, these are historians at the time that were not Christians when this occurred that testified in their writings about Jesus and his resurrection. And they said, this is real stuff. Of course, crazy lefty, atheist haters, you know, they want to minimize and all that stuff. And kids in college get fed this filthy lies. But there's no doubt, anyone who studies it, there's so many atheists that have gone after it to tear it apart. When they start looking at the facts, they're like, this is seriously honest, crazy, good stuff. And they end up accepting Christ. Folks, if you know somebody who's buying into this, tell them not to read somebody's gibberish propaganda. Go to the original source. That is the best way to study. You go to the original source. You don't read someone's opinion of the source, someone's translation of the source. If you're reading books about the Bible, you better make sure that you're reading the Bible too. Don't get dependent just on books that tell you about the Bible. If you think you're reading, read the Bible, study the Bible, get online. I use Blue Letter Bible because I can click right there and look at the Hebrew and look at the Greek and try to understand what the word means. And I'm finding constantly now, I use the NASB because it's supposed to be the most accurate literate translation, but I'm finding all the time errors in translation because people go after the Bible, after the translation, with preconceived ideas they don't even realize they have. And so it's, you got to know God's word. You know, if you want to know God, you got to know his word, right? And reading books, great. Solomon said, there's no end to books on the earth. He says, you grow weary trying to read them all. And it's really vain, he says. But the Bible, he said, there's one book, one book. So anyway, enough of that. Let's rattle, rock, and roll through a little bit of political topics, and I'll try to get to some meat and potatoes for you. Let's go here. Okay, statue of Robert E. Lee torn down. Have you guys seen this stuff? These radical nut jobs are tearing down statues of our leaders, Robert E. Lee. Why? Because he was a slave owner. Folks, that is, I can't remember the name of that that twisting of history technique. It might be called modernism. Viewing past leaders or, you know, founding fathers through today's lens. So these people are like, oh, my gosh, slavery's out of control. It's crazy. It's the most heinous, rotten thing you could ever do. This guy did that. He was a horrible person. We want to destroy him. What are we going to do? We will wipe him from the annals of history. Robert E. Lee was like the only guy who ever graduated from West Point with a perfect score all the way through. He accomplished things you cannot imagine. These men that we glorify through history, folks, there's a reason. Now they want to go after Stonewall Jackson. Why? Tear down his, you know, tear down Confederate flags. Why? It's history. It's the way it was. We cannot revise history. Do you realize this is what the Taliban does? Do you realize that this is what communism does? This is what's going on, folks. They're rewriting history. So you'll never know the truth. They don't teach kids the Constitution. I mean, we're at a point now where constitutional attorneys don't read the Constitution. That's the truth. They don't read it. They don't even know. There's constitutional attorneys that I've talked to and more that I've read about and heard of that don't even know that the clause, the separation of church and state, isn't in the First Amendment. The First Amendment for the freedom of speech and the right to practice your religion says that Congress shall create no law prohibiting the exercise of free religion. In other words, you're free to do it wherever, whenever you want. They've got so much propaganda floating around now. They've got people thinking that the government can control. They think it's the freedom from religion. No, it's the freedom of religion, the freedom to practice. You have to also have all of the Bill of Rights work together. This is why Islam in its true form doesn't work in America. But now they're stifling Christianity everywhere, everywhere. You know, in 62, I think, is when they took God out of the courts. They took the Federalist Papers out, which spelled out the intention of our founding fathers. They took it out because they said it's freedom. It's a violation of the separation of church and state, even though it's our founding fathers' intentions in writing the Constitution. And now they sit around and scratch their head and act like we don't know what their intentions were. Folks, we are totally lied to. And what happened after they took that out? Unwed pregnancies exploded. You should see the graphs and the charts. You know, premarital sex exploded. Sexually transmitted diseases exploded. Divorce rate exploded. I mean, I'm telling you, big, big runs, huge. They took God out of the schools. They took God out of America. And now we are probably one generation away, Because the adult generation in 62, they still knew God. Their kids that were grown relatively knew God. Those that were growing up already in the 60s, they knew God, okay? Their kids knew God a little bit because they knew God a little bit, okay? That's my generation. My kids' generation, not my kids, but my kids' generation, they don't know God so well because the generation that had them, me, in general, started to drift away from God in the church because God's out of society. God's out of our lives. So my kids' age, they're getting pretty washy. Their kids are growing up without God. God doesn't exist. They don't get exposed to him anywhere. They don't get taught about him. When they have kids, it's over, folks, unless there's a revival. And I don't see it coming. I apologize. God can do anything. It's magnificent. It's scary, though, isn't it? And I mean scary in a sad way, not a real terrifying way. And a lot of people, folks, I'm always, you know, God's in control. He'll take care of everything. No, we are. God will help us. He'll pave the way. He'll do miracles. But we need to be praying and bringing him into stuff. God, you know, if you say God's in control of everything, what's true is God is sovereign. God is all powerful. He can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants, wherever he wants. But he allows things to function. He allows us to do what we do. He allows evil to happen. Why? You know, I heard recently about that Captain Sully that flew that plane into the Hudson River. The guy's resume is beyond anything you can imagine, including, you know, 36 years as a hang glider pilot. He was a military educator. He'd taught people on how safety. He'd written all these safety regulations for the FAA. He helped design the simulators. The guy was as best as he could be. When he flew that plane into the Hudson, if you watch the movie Sully, which is a little twisted, but the fact is at the end of the movie, you figure out how amazing he was. And the whole system came out against him because they got on the simulators and said, oh, you could have just turned around and went back to the airport. No, you couldn't. He hit a flock of birds and they didn't know what happened. So they had to go through all the safety check for 2.5 minutes. By then it was too late. Nobody, and I mean nobody, could have landed that plane but him. He was the one pilot in the United States that could do it. And he just happened to be on that flight that day, and he saved those people's lives. That's how God works. There are so many people that were on that flight that said they were praying and all these amazing things that the media won't pick up. That's why God lets that stuff happen, because so many people, how many thousands, tens of thousands, millions, whatever, get to look and say, that was a miracle on the Hudson, they called it in other countries. Here, we started to immediately criticize and get skeptical about the pilot. I mean, we're bent out of shape in this nation right now. This stuff with Trump. So this Robert E. Lee statue tear down, and then you have this big riot breakout, and they say there's white nationalists there, folks. Let me tell you something. Here's the information you don't get that I think Trump may get, okay? There's a guy. Let me find him here. Okay, maybe he's right here. Oh, boy. Where'd he go? I don't know where he is. Anyway, there is a guy. Oh, bummer, bummer, bummer. He's got to be in here. So anyway, I had him in my little machine here. He headed up Occupy Wall Street movement. Okay? Left-wing, radical, anti-government George Soros. Well, now they got him. He was heading up the white supremacists and white nationalists, supposedly, in Charlotte, North Carolina. What? Or South Carolina, whatever it is. What? So he was a lefty, now he's a righty? No. These people are planted to create chaos. This stuff is absolutely created on purpose. They get these people to tear down the statue of Robert E. Lee. They get a bunch of media there, and now everybody's got a camera anyway. They get all this coverage about racism, And guess who ends up on the short end of the whole stick? Donald Trump. Because they say Trump didn't respond properly. Trump initially came out and said racism and sexism and any kind of discrimination is wrong and bad, and we condone it at every level. They said, oh, that was not a good enough condemnation. You needed to lambaste the neo-Nazis and critical, critical, critical. So 2 days later, Trump comes out and he goes way harder. He says, the neo-Nazis are out of line. They're wrong. I condemn them in every way. Then he says, however, they were not the only problem there. These left-wing Antifas, anti-fascist idiots, because these anti-fascist idiots want fascism. They don't even know what fascism is. So anyway, they come in with shields and clubs and attack the neo-Nazis. And violence breaks out. And who gets blamed? The neo-Nazis. There's all these other legitimate protesters there, offended that they're tearing down this statue, trying to protect it. Folks, we have been duped again. Welcome to George Orwell's 1984. Welcome to socialistic communism. You know this, oh, Russia colluded in the election? Well, they, not by Trump's choice, but sure they do. They collude in all kinds of elections. They want to control the outcome. They know how to create chaos and destroy people. Why would Russia ever want Trump to win? Unless Hillary ticked him off. I don't know. But the point is, they mingle with every election. It's not, this one's not unique. And that's why the left knows they do it. And that's why they know if they keep digging, they're going to find something. And that's why they're blown away that Trump's clean, because they know the Russians stick their nose in every election. And folks, do you know that having the Russians on his side isn't illegal? Even if he talked to them and they helped him get elected, that's not illegal. I mean, if they undermined our democratic election system with fraud, it is. But just having the support of another nation is not illegal. I'm not saying that they should, and I'm not saying that Russia's good, but it's all a witch hunt. It's a crazy, crazy witch hunt. But the fact of the matter is, this Robert E. Lee stuff, this stuff's serious stuff. We are revising history now. And as Trump said in his press conference, which was awesome, of course, the media slaughters it. They absolutely have edited it out. I don't care if you watch Fox News or what you watch. They are editing out. They are out to get him. It is wrong. The poor guy, okay? He doesn't show weakness. He doesn't get teary-eyed. He just stays strong. And maybe that's offensive to people. I don't know. But I do know that he is not getting fair coverage at all. That's why he gets so mad and calls them fake news. You know, nothing he does, even calling him out on fake news, nothing he does helps. And then even Jay Sekulow, the legal counsel for Trump, was trying to get, you know, through a FOIA, Freedom of Information Act, all the documents on the meeting, the tarmac meeting between Bill Clinton and Loretta Lynch before the election. And Comey's office, liars. Remember FBI Director Comey that tried to come out and take Trump down? His office said there were no records pertaining to this. Well, Jay Sekulow's office already had some, so they had to go through legal action after legal action after filing, and finally a judge awarded it to him, and here we go. So there's hundreds, like 400 and some pages of documents. And they finally get granted it by the judge. So what's the FBI do? They redact everything, including talking points that the FBI and Loretta Lynch together constructed for dealing with the media. Those are all redacted. Why would the FBI create talking points? That's a political action. That's not a law enforcement's action. They're supposed to be objective. What a pain, huh? So a minute ago, I talked about these anti-fascist people, folks. Antifa. They call themselves anti-fascist whatever. Here's the problem with this anti-fascist movement, then I'll move on. Antifa, which is anti-fascist association or whatever, they think bringing in Muslims will stop fascism. Think about that. However, what do Muslims want to do? Take away our rights? That creates more fascism, doesn't it? Antifa, they think that, you know, they're against industrialization. I don't know if they want to live in a forest or what. They think that stopping industrialization will stop fascism. So what happens is you stop industrialization, everyone else gets more taxes, more regulations, and we get more fascism. Antifa, anti-fascist, I don't know what the I means. Maybe it should, or the A should be an I for idiot. They think that guns are evil and they create fascism. You know, guns kill people and all this. How can you defend yourself with guns taken away? You can't defend yourself. So what happens? More rights are taken away, more fascism. Anti-fascists are fascists. They want the government to take away all of our rights. They're fools. They're young. Here's one for you. Ponder this. According to a study done in Germany, compiled by the Federal Office for the Protection of the Constitution, of those arrested for politically motivated offenses, 84% were men. Well, how about I just get to the meat? 92% of left-wing activists live with their parents, and 1 in 3 is unemployed. Want to hear that again? All these left-wing activists you see running around destroying stuff, being morons. 92% of left-wing activists live with their parents, and 1 out of 3 is unemployed. That's what they got from a big in-depth study of protesters. They're not looking out for the best interests of America. They've got too loud of a voice for who they are. The working man that's paying all the taxes, the media has literally stripped away their rights. They've stripped away their voice. The people that put the grease in the machine of America have no voice. The screaming children, the spoiled brats that live at home with mommy and daddy and play video games all day and blog, they're the ones that are dictating the policies of this nation. The media, folks, is a bunch of left-wing activist communistic children. They're fascists. They want to make the government ram opinions down the throat. They're so mad at Donald Trump for not, you know, wholesale condemning neo-Nazism. Now, by the way, if you heard the press conference, he did just fine. He absolutely condemned them. But they still have a right to that opinion. I hate it. It's wrong. It's stupid. But they have a right. Freedom of speech. But now the left is trying more and more and more to control our thoughts and our speech. This is why they're freaking out. They're putting so much pressure on you and us for what you say that they're changing the mindset of this nation. This is what the radical, torturous communists have always done. They torture people until they say what they want them to say. And then they make them come out in front of other people and say it. The state is good. I am bad. The state loves us and cares about us. And I've been evil, an enemy of the state, and I deserve to die. This is where we're going, folks, super fast. And Trump somehow is the catalyst. He's in a terrible position. What's going on is wrong. People need to stand up and fight. The media is the enemy. The media needs destroyed. They are lying and deceiving and cheating, and they are dishonest. And they think that because they're, in their minds, they're fighting for a higher calling. They think that anything goes. They can lie, cheat, or steal because, after all, they're fighting for what's right and true. They don't even cover anything clear or true, folks. You're being lied to. Fox is going off the rails. I think Tucker Carlson still got his head on a little bit straight. Eric Bolling did. Now he's on suspension because I think the New York Times or some stupid paper had a, you know, some accusation against him, you know, for inappropriate texts. No pictures, no evidence, just innuendo. He's suing them for $50 million. They got rid of O'Reilly. You know, Hannity's decent. People get frustrated with Hannity. They say he's too harsh and yells or whatever. But he's right, folks. If Hannity annoys you, get over it. He's right. And he's obviously pure, or the left would have torn him apart by now. They've got people dedicated. You know, New York Times had 13 employees full-time whose job was to dig up dirt on Trump. Guess what? They couldn't get any. Now they're saying that everybody who runs for office, they want to pass a law where anyone who runs for federal office has to give up their taxes. You know what happens, folks? Anybody who's ever been successful and they've made money, the more successful you get, the more complicated your taxes become, right? So anybody who's really good, they're eliminating their ability to ever run for office. Because what they'll do is they're going to learn how they're going to specialize in how to pick everything everybody's done apart from their taxes so that they can't get elected. And then they're going to make it that the only people that can get elected are the Bernie Sanders of the world who've never accomplished a thing. They go to college, they become a professor. Even Bernie didn't do that. They go straight into politics and community service. And they, you know, they never take any risks. They don't contribute to society at all. They become a senator for years and years. And, you know, they never make waves. And so now you qualify to run for president. No, that's, you don't want people like that running this country. I'll say it again. We've lost our marbles, folks. We've lost our marbles. And you didn't even know you had marbles, but you do. All right, let me rattle. What else can we do? I'm running out of time. What's new? Okay, Congress is passing a law that I heard yesterday. I got to look into this more. To allow illegal immigrants. Well, Congress has a law in front of it to allow illegal immigrants to practice law. Think about that. Illegal immigrants can become licensed attorneys. Wonderful. So Kim Jong-un backed down to Trump's threats. That's good. He's all talk. Good thing. Or we'd have been blowing him away if he'd have shot a missile towards whatever you call it, Guam. China, folks, is the key behind that. They could put an end to that right away. Trump put trade sanctions on him. But I'll tell you, be careful. You know, that's not over. That and Iran, people don't realize Obama's nuclear deal with Iran where he pumped him money fast. Obama is a Muslim. Obama did everything in his power to empower the Muslim movement. And the money, the $150 billion we gave to Iran, now Iran's got these high-board drones. They're messing with our jets. They're messing with our ships. Folks, they've got $150 billion to burn on weapons. Obama financed Armageddon. Okay, that's what he did. $150 billion is half of Iran's yearly GDP. Okay, think about this. America's GDP is about 19 or 20 trillion. That would be the same as giving America $10 trillion. $10 trillion. Our entire deficit is $20 trillion. Giving Iran $150 billion is the same as giving the U.S. $10 trillion. It absolutely would completely transform this nation. It would gut the world. You don't even know what it would do. What we did, what Obama did, is unfathomable. Unfathomable. And then paying $400 million cash to get hostages back. I mean, dirt bag. A wimpy, weak-backed dirt bag. You know, no guts, no glory. The guy's got no guts and no strength. He just is a weaselly. He doesn't even respect a penny of this nation. And he did everything he could to bankrupt it. And we are in trouble. And Trump's the right guy. They've got to give the guy a break. He's human, and I'm real tired of it, to be completely frank, in a big, big way. Okay, folks, power of prayer. I'll say, first of all, the best thing anybody can tell me when I hear from them is not that they like the show, that's awesome, but that they pray for me and my family and business and everything. We need it. Being on the air, the enemy attacks. If you believe, folks, the enemy attacks. He does. I won't get into all the details, but I assure you, pray for us, pray for the show, pray for the business. I mean, I'm a regular, good old American business owner. We have good times and bad times, and I'm not going to tell you which one, you know, happens when, but I'll tell you, we need blessing. We need help. We need support, and we need protection. And I'll tell you too, folks, like I said, I mean, right now is such a terrific time to transfer. If you've got money, I don't care where it's sitting. If you're in any kind of a fund or stocks, you're not doing well. You're sitting there watching all these supposed highs being broken and you're not making the money. It's not happening to you. Get out of there. We do balanced portfolios. Folks, we respect the fact that you don't understand what to do with your money. That's where we come in. We're good at it. We've been doing it a long time. Our people do well. We're not just going to dump you all in a bunch of one big chunk of gold. We have people, oh, I want the biggest gold bar you have. No, you actually don't, because if you try to sell that, what do you got? One big chunk of gold. You put some huge amount of money in it. If you need money out of it, then you got to sell it off and break it up in little pieces. So we break it up in little pieces to begin with. But we balance you out. There are so many items that are so rock solid. And I'm really not sympathetic to the attitude that the only reason you want hard assets is because when all hell breaks loose. No, you want to be a good steward. You want to save. You want to preserve your capital, wealth and capital preservation. The one sector that endures through the world's political and economic issues, it stands against central banking. It's the only thing that'll do it. It's the only thing that's remained the pinnacle form of wealth throughout all history, all civilized society. It's the only thing that man's mouth cannot evaporate with a lie. Precious metals-based assets are the only thing considered true wealth in the Bible, documented, tested, and true from the earliest written human history. Precious metals are the only thing that maintain their buying power over time. Precious metals-based assets are the only thing that have grown consistently up while the dollar's lost 99.5% of its spending power since the inception of the Fed. They're the only thing that has kept up with real inflation, like home sales prices that I've discussed. They're the only thing that doesn't care if the consumer price index is a lie, where food, transportation, real estate, and energy costs is excluded. Gold doesn't care. Silver doesn't care. Numismatic coins don't care. And don't tell me you don't want this and you don't want that. We've got a system that is proven true over and over, more and more. And we're becoming a little more bold about it because we help people do well. You bring us your money, we build you a portfolio. That portfolio is a great way to sock stuff away. We have a tremendous inventory we've had for, you know, we buy and sell out of over a long period of time. And as a result, we're able to sell stuff at wholesale. Okay, there's no retail. Coins Plus doesn't have commission salespeople. No one here has a bit of income that has anything to do with the profit they make when they deal with you. Every other company you call out there does. Every one of them. I don't care where you go. There's people whose income is based on how much profit they make. That is wrong. It's idiotic when it comes to investing. It's foolish. You don't want any part of it. It's a conflict of interest with the client. Folks, we take care of you at Coins Plus. I promise. It's simple. Don't wait longer. Don't stare at the metals. Don't wonder if they're going up or if they're going down. They're going up. And in this fall, September, October, we're, you know, we could easily see some scary stuff come down the pipe big time. But that's only one facet of why you do it. You do it because it's biblically endorsed and authorized throughout the entire Bible, all the way to the end, where it says you'll cast your gold and silver in the streets when the big wrath comes down at the end of whatever. It's the only thing that lasts. It's good enough for heaven, folks. Can you imagine what God's done with it there? 1,500 miles high, 1,500 miles long, and 1,500 miles wide. And he says it's built with tons of gold. I don't know where he even got the element. Maybe he just snapped his fingers and made it. Maybe someone went and mined it off of one of his planets. I don't know. But I can tell you the precious metals-based assets have maintained a 4,000% growth from 71, where the metals were deregulated, to 2011. You know, we've got, they've never lost their value. They've never become worthless. They're timelessly valued. They're true wealth. You lock them away and you're locked and loaded. They always maintain their spending power for thousands of years. They're rare. They're scarce. They take work energy to create. The dollar is rapidly losing favor globally. It's becoming weaker and weaker and less desirable. It's not as impressive as it once was. A dollar still, you know, respected. But it's not a real dollar. I discussed a show recently where the dollar was based on a specific amount of gold or silver from the Coinage Act of 1792. Those days are gone. The Fed has used the term erroneously, okay? Precious metals-based assets are universally recognized and accepted anytime or anywhere in the world. What else do you have like that? You give your money to some broker who, by the way, is not doing you any favors. I hope, folks, any of you that have got a significant amount of money in an annuity, you're in trouble. That's a bad investment. You can't get your money back. But just because somebody sends you a piece of paper and says, look how good you're doing, means nothing, because getting your money out of it's terrible. And at the end of that annuity, you can't get your money back. All these, you know, the bonus premium that they put on there. You give them $100,000 and they show you, look, we instantly give you a 10% bonus premium. You have $110,000. No, it's all phony. So that when they pay you 1%, they're really paying you 1.1% because they're paying 1% on the premium bonus. You can never have that money. It never exists. It's not real. It's just phony. They have surrender charges. You know, don't get into them. They're tough. If you are in them, get out. Get out and get into what God says. God would never do that. I know from what I know about finances, and if Jesus came back and was living on this earth, or his apostles or whatever, they wouldn't do annuities. Annuities are a train wreck financially. The margin, the actual profit margin on them is higher than any other financial vehicle in existence. They're sold by insurance people, and they have up to 35% commission. That's why you can't get your money out, because it's gone. Well, it's, I mean, gone as far as they have to get it back over time to pay the commission. That's why the surrender charges. But I'm telling you, folks, I just would get out. They're not even easy to get out of. They will bug you so bad because you're affecting their future paycheck. People that own our assets, if they need money, fine. They come in, they sell it. No hassles, no questions. Not our job. It's your money. We respect it. We don't treat you like a broker who's got residual income. What do you need your money for? What are you doing? Why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? Have you thought of this? Are you sure you need it? You know, I mean, you really ought to leave it here. The one I like is where everybody's losing their butt, and they are, despite the supposed hot market, and they're always like, well, if you pull it out now, you're going to realize that loss. You know, it's about ready to turn around. You know, if you pull it out now, you're never going to know. Well, I'll tell you what, folks, pull it out and watch the fund you were in continue to fail. I've been doing this a long, 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 long time, and I've been watching the same game for a very, very long time. It's deceptive as heck. Precious metals. What else is private, anonymous, transportable, immediately liquid, anywhere, at any time? It's like I've said, compact real estate. Our Federal Reserve System is a broken deception. Federal Reserve notes are only created when debt is acquired. You know, the whole economic system is a puppet to the progressive agenda to intentionally destroy our economy, utilizing what's called the Cloward and Piven strategy to impose socialism on America by forcing the physical well-being of every citizen, legal or illegal, onto the responsibility of our government through this government health care. The plan, according to John Maynard Keynes, is specifically, or the economic system, is designed to destroy capitalism in America and thus worldwide by swelling the welfare rolls to the point of collapsing our economy and then implementing socialism by nationalizing the maximum number of private institutions. Folks, I'm telling you, I'm asking you, don't hesitate. Don't wait around. I know it's summer, we're all relaxed. This is the time of the year when the metals are the lowest. They always take off in the fourth quarter of the year. Fourth quarter, first quarter is where the big gains always come. When things cool off, people get back indoors. The coins start to get the pressure. The market heats up. I just had a client in a couple days ago who bought stuff 15 years ago. He wants to buy waterfront property now. I mean, he had coins that had gone up 400 and 500%. And I mean, a sizable amount of them, not just one tiny little thing. So whatever. We build wonderful portfolios. We got stuff ready to go. We got some terrific sets we've built, some complete sets of, you know, uncirculated coins going clear back. We've just got nice stuff. We're buying an unbelievable silver dollar collection, the nicest I've ever bought. Here this afternoon when I get done. It's very expensive, though. It's over $100,000, if anybody's interested in that. Anyway, Coins Plus, 444-0044, toll-free 877-TAP-COIN through the website at Coins Plus. All of our previous shows are there. I'll be gone for a bit. Take care of the guys at the shop. Pray for us. Come in, do some business, and take care. God bless. Thank you so much for your support. God bless, and bye-bye.